Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, no matter how hard they try. I want to welcome you to our broadcast today. I want to thank the members of my Patreon community for appearing last night. Celeste Solom appeared as well. It was just a great gathering of people, and I want to say thank you. It was a special, not the first of the month, but a special gathering of our Patreons, patrons, Patreon community. Thank you. In the midst of all of what is taking place. And I've got to say this, after a lot of consideration, I fear the agenda as much, if not more, than the coronavirus. It's the coronavirus, as I've been saying all along. Yes, it's real. Yes, it's a thing. Yes, it's something that we have to pay attention to. But there's an agenda behind this. And I ask you, let me just toss this out to the audience. Do you feel like you're missing something? Do you feel like there's something that we are all missing to some extent? Again, I ask. When I look at the empty shelves, I look at the panic. And by the way, what's up with the toilet paper? Come on, folks, really? You know, boy, I'll tell you, if you're scrambling at this hour to stock up on toilet paper, what can you, Eric the Tech, I mean, what do you think of all this? You're always quiet. You're always in the background, but you're always watching and learning and listening and observing and kind of being that stealth kind of like Theo.
That's what I get paid to do.
I know. It just feels like we're missing something right now as we start off this week. I don't know. I don't know if it's just me. I understand the panic. I understand even the reaction. You know, I've read so much, so many messages. So many entries on forums and websites and comments and emails and even the most, or even those who have prepared are just kind of stymied a bit. They're saying, wow, you know, there's a level of surprise, of shock as to what's going on. There's more to what's going on, obviously, than we're seeing and then we're being led to believe. I'm in favor of President Trump. I back him, but I do believe that he looked kind of like he was reading from a hostage script. Now, that's not to put him down. Believe me, that's not to do that. He's got a hard enough job as it is. But when he gave his press conferences, it was almost as if he was reading from the note that he was being held hostage, and maybe that's not too far off the mark. This morning, I mean, did you see what the stocks are down despite Fed intervention? I mean, my goodness, they're pushing rates to nearly 0%, and that's to help the interbank windows and such. But and I'm not an expert, economic expert. When we look at, when we look at the environment, the venue, what about the Constitution, the founding document? How is that going to fare in all of this? The United States Constitution. How is that going to fare? I, for one, believe that our founding document is the law of the land, and anything that's contrary to the Constitution is not a law at all. Now, having said that, we're seeing massive closures of everything. And I still see people saying, well, it's just the flu. Okay. Did we do that for the flu last year, the year before? Did we do that for the epidemic of 2018? What was it, SARS? Did we do that in the previous election cycles? Eric the Tech even brought that up. There's something that we're missing here. And I've seen some really ludicrous statements being made by people on social media, some with a YouTube channel saying that, well, this is cover for mass arrests, and if anything, I would say that one could perhaps use this, but I'm sure it wasn't planned in that fashion to achieve something like that. So what I believe, I'm kind of sitting back conducting surveillance of what's taking place. And really, at this point, I'm in an information gathering mode. That's my position. I believe that there's information out there we are not privy to. I believe that there are agendas out there that are dueling agendas, but agendas nonetheless, to see who can be on top. Think of a wrestling match. You know, it's obviously whoever's on top pins the opponent wins. There are dueling forces out there. Maybe multiple, forces in multiple matches. I would urge people not to look at this like a blizzard, as you would look at a bad snowstorm or even a hurricane, where it's going to come through and pass. And then you've got that cleanup. I would look at this more like an extended period, like a winter as opposed to a blizzard, or like an adverse tropical depression that lasts for a season, not just a hurricane that sweeps through, because the economic scars are going to be permanent. The number of businesses that are going to be forced into bankruptcy, they're going to be significant. The number of people who are going to get behind on their utilities and on their bills, very significant. And with respect to the actual virus itself, when you look at the projections, we may not see the real effects of this until midsummer, depending on how that curve goes. You know, I keep seeing charts and they all look like hockey sticks. And I got to tell you, no, this country and no one, no community, no entity wants to get hit by a hockey stick. Then we hear about the vaccines. Biotech companies shipping first batches of coronavirus vaccine to be treated on humans, really. Okay. Is that the objective? I dare say not. I say perhaps it's one of the objectives, but not the only objective. And here's the ultimate, I think, my message. I would urge everyone, as they're looking at this and wondering, I would urge everyone to think bigger. Because right now, I think what we're seeing is we're being directed to take a look at a certain set of circumstances. But think beyond that. Think bigger. If you think you're thinking bigger, no. Think bigger than what you're thinking. This to me looks like a very much like a worldwide agenda. Multiple governments. United States, we tend to think here in the United States, we tend to think that this is U.S. centric, that all the objectives are centered around us, very U.S. centric. But understand, this is a global initiative or a global situation. And I think we need to think in those terms. This is a global banking, these are global banking maneuvers. Deutsche Bank, look where they're at. for example. So the bottom line here on this Monday, I would just say very simply to think bigger. Don't panic. You know, preparation, if you're prepared, it alleviates panic. And this is what we've been saying for how many weeks and months and years. How many programs have we dedicated to preparation? And I know that our listeners and viewers, look, you guys are out there. You're not shooting people for rolls of paper. Others are. Just wait until it gets real bad. Before I bring John Moore, is John ready? Okay. John Moore, by the way, is the Liberty Man. He has his own show on RBN. If you go to thelibertyman.com, you can find out all about John Moore. And he's really, I call him not just the Liberty Man, but the Evidence Man. Now, you know, obviously, as we are two investigators looking at this situation, I think that we are of the same mindset. We know we're digging for the truth. We're digging for evidence. We're digging for documentation. And now in that process, we are allowed to, and in fact encouraged to offer speculation. It's what we do when you're attempting to solve a homicide or you're attempting to solve a multi-million dollar fraud case and, you know, identify who benefits. You toss out, everything's on the table. And I think everything's on the table at this point. And, you know, I'll just, one of the things I would, in that same vein, anyone who says, and this is my view, anyone who says, oh, I know what this is all about, or I got, you know, I've got this source and I guarantee you this is what's going to happen. And, you know, on this date, March 21st, the spring equinox, this is going to happen. Or the day after, or the day after that, or my goodness, isn't this something? 4/10/20. Well, okay, 4, if you do the numbers with the alphabet, 4 is D, 10 is J, 20 is T. You know what that is, right? Donald J. Trump presidency. Hey, something's going to happen on 4/10/20. Now, that's not to diminish the fact that the bizarre globalist idiots who worship gods, small g, don't use numbers, don't use planetary alignment, because belief is the driver of their actions. And in general, belief is the driver of action in most cases. And I love these blogs, or this one blog in particular makes fun of that. Okay, well, you know, that's to your peril and to everyone who follows you, their peril. Because if you, to put it another way, look at the run on toilet, people fighting and shooting over toilet paper, for crying out loud. What do they believe? Does it have to be the same as you believe, or does it even have to be rational? No, it's their belief driving their actions. So go ahead, mock, make fun of, and lead your people down that garden path. Because the blood, in my view, will be on your hands. If you're not preparing for what's to come. Before I bring John on, I just want to toss, by the way, I'm one more thing. We should be talking about not COVID-19, not novel or N-COVID-19. We should be calling this for what it is. The Wuhan virus. Or the Wuhan coronavirus, or the Chinese coronavirus, shouldn't we? Yeah, I think so. And And another aside, too. I find it hilarious, sad, but hilarious to see people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying, you know what? This is affecting Chinese restaurants. People aren't eating at Chinese restaurants. You know why I don't eat at Chinese restaurants? Eric the Tech, you know why I don't eat at Chinese restaurants, right? Because I don't like to eat food that looks like somebody already ate that food. Well, that's all right, baby girl. Lady of the Studio Dog's coming over here and saying, what's wrong? No, I don't like Chinese food. That's why I don't eat there. So am I a racist? People have taken a leave of their senses. They really have. You got people calling. By the way, you got people calling 911 because they're out of toilet paper. And it says something about the population when the 911 emergency services in, where was it, Oregon or someplace had to tell people, don't call 911. Don't do that. We have a second video before we bring John on, please. Can we run that? Watch the second one. Yeah. Did I throw you off by doing that? Yeah, the first one up. Well, let's play the first one. Oh, now you got the, okay. How about the third one? No, there's only two. Take a watch and then bring John from thelibertyman.com, the evidence man, and my good friend. Before we do, like I said, I'm going to play this. Let's play this video. Go ahead.
The coronavirus has swept the globe with over 140,000 cases worldwide and more than 5,000 deaths. In recent days, countries around the globe have taken major steps to stem the spread of COVID-19, and there has been extensive coverage of the virus worldwide. But the coverage of the deadly virus in China, where COVID-19 originated in the city of Wuhan, is being dictated by the government.
But today, with so few vehicles and people, it's very easy to get around. These days, almost everyone is wearing a mask. Actually, taxi drivers are not allowed to drive without wearing a mask. And they can refuse you for not wearing a mask. You are also not allowed to enter any public places unless you are wearing a mask.
Videos being made to look like social media videos are released on the government-sponsored channel, China Global Television Network, look like this.
Now, over 800,000 people are under self-quarantine in Beijing, and I am one of them. So how does the government make sure we have enough food? Don't worry, food delivery men are still hard at work. So this morning, I ordered breakfast from McDonald's, and it arrived in 20 minutes. Take a look at the food delivery apps. You still have a ton of choices. You can order Sichuan cuisines, you can order fried chicken, and even hot pots. Many restaurants are closed, but they are still delivering. Many food delivery companies have launched contactless delivery options. That means you may ask the delivery man to leave the food at certain points close to you, and you pick it up later. It protects both you and the delivery man. Since February 13th, over 2 million couriers and delivery men have returned to work. Those waiters who were out of work recently also found new opportunities in food delivery companies. To encourage people to stay away from the crowd, the government issued a policy allowing people to cancel their airline tickets and train tickets with no charges. So for example, I have canceled my trip with my parents to Japan in late February, and I have already got the refund. As of mid-February, the China Civil Aviation Administration has received 20 million cancellations worth about 20 billion yuan. And if you've been driving around, you see people having their temperature taken at each checkpoint. Anyone with a fever will be sent to the hospital right away.
Check that out.
And as reported by the New York Times, China has taken great efforts to aggressively censor the information regarding the coronavirus. CGTN's opinion-based outlet, known as Tea House, is now competing with the United States' opinion-based shows.
After all, when the communist government locks down its city, what else could that be other than draconian, authoritarian, and a violation of human rights? Now, Italy has decided to do the same, locking down the entire country. And apparently, the two lockdowns are not the same, at least according to America's most watched cable news network. Italy isn't authoritarian like China, and it's not backward like Iran. It is a modern, developed Western country, in many ways like our country. Italy.
The science community does seem convinced that China's efforts are working and that the coronavirus does appear to be slowing there. Cases around the world continue to rise.
So I can say we will see more cases and things will get worse than they are right now. How much worse we'll get will depend on our ability to do two things: to contain the influx of people who are infected coming from the outside, and the ability to contain and mitigate within our own country.
I want to thank DC Shorts, Daily Caller. What do you think of Fauci? All right. Before moving on, I want to tell people that, now might be a good time, now that you're at your computers and at home and you've got some time. Let's reassess your financial position. And one way to do so is to save money on high interest credit card rates. And I'm going to tell you something. LightStream has come to a lot of people's rescue that I know. If you're like most of us, you carry a balance on your credit cards. And if those cards come with high interest rates, you need my friends at LightStream. It is so easy to lower your interest rate, save with a LightStream credit card consolidation loan. You get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. And I've got a ton of testimonials to prove it, including this one. And I'm going to read this verbatim because I think this kind of says it all. Finding out about LightStream could not have come at a better time. I've been trying to consolidate my debt for a few months now, but I felt like I reached a dead end. And I was listening to my podcast one morning and heard their ad. Everything that was said sounded too good to be true, but at that point I had nothing to lose. Ultimately, it was true. It was so quick, easy, and convenient. I wish I would have found out about LightStream sooner. I 1,000% recommend to everyone. And that's LightStream. Folks, again, get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with autopay. Compare that to what you're paying right now. It's a no-brainer. Here's what you need to do. Apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, there are two N's at the end of Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. But LightStream is LightStream. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply. And offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. Many have, and many of you are. So thank you. I've kept John waiting long enough. John Moore, what say you about this?
Good morning, Doug. While you were rambling, doing what you did, well, it was a good discourse. I recalled something that there's about three sentences here that I would like to read to you. Just prior to it becoming clear that this is not the case, then and only then, martial law will be declared. A really handy scenario would be to have a terrorist-related event or give the pretext for martial law. The reason, people will respect and go along with orders to protect them from human threats, listen carefully, or disease. They will not go along with orders they recognize will not work to protect them, natural disasters. It is now estimated that the loss of American life up to 50 million people is regarded as acceptable loss. This is from a paper I wrote in 2006, published at my website, titled No Need for Panic, concerning what the government would do if they knew that a major geological matter was about to cause dramatic loss of life and property. And the information I'm getting, Doug, is that violent earth changes will be part of our lives 6 to 18 months in the future. And what's going on now is a precursor to those events. The New World Order wants to do what they can to establish themselves before they get shut down also, which, of course, they will be. And what we're seeing now is the the possible beginning of the collapse of the United States and other governments around the world. If this continues for very many months, there won't be any way to avoid that. It simply won't be. It is media-driven. It is panic-driven. It is fear-driven. It is not driven by reality. The normal death from flus is 1 in 1,000. This flu is killing 2 in 100. That doesn't change who's dying, however. It changes how easily you get it. And that's the difference. It's much more easy to get this flu, but just as easy or difficult, depending on your health, to die from it. And that's where we are, Doug. This panic, this fear-driven media hysteria is becoming our new reality. It doesn't matter if this flu is more deadly than the other flu. The people who are going to die are the same people who would die anyway from any flu. People with any respiratory problem, and people with any heart problem, people who are on dialysis, people who are diabetic, people who have a compromised immune system, especially those over 80 years old, those are the people who die from flu all the time anyway. It's just going to be a lot easier for those people to catch this flu than other flus because of two things. The tremendously long incubation period. Incubation period of a normal flu is 24 to 48 hours. You come in contact with a normal flu, you get sick in 24 to 48 hours. The incubation for this flu can be as long as 50 days, we're hearing. That's off the charts crazy.
Right.
The flu can also, this flu can also live on a hard, cold surface for many days, 2 weeks or longer. So let's say the delivery man drops off the nice pizza at your door. Your payment's already made by credit card or the telephone, and you go out and you pick up the pizza and bring it in your home. There could be flu virus on that. Not a problem if you're a healthy adult. Not a problem at all. Doug, I believe every nursing home in the country is shut down right now to visitors.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that's the case. What is that? What about the U.S. mail arriving at the nursing homes? What about the delivery trucks that bring food and all the other items that nursing homes need delivered to the loading dock every day, Postal Service, FedEx, and FedEx? Hard, cold surfaces. This is not going to be stopped. What it will do is slow it down, and that will be beneficial. It will hurt the economy more because we'll suffer longer. But you won't have what might be called martial law triage. It's not the kind of martial law where there's checkpoints and guys with machine guns to stop you from traveling on the highway. No, this is more along the lines of you show up at the healthcare center, the hospital, and they triage you. They decide, will this person live if given minimal treatment? Will they die no matter what we do? Or will they live if we do nothing at all? That's triage. And if you're going to die no matter what they do, you're not going to do very much except try to keep you comfortable. If you're going to live with normal treatment, then they'll give you normal treatment. If you can wait a few hours, then you wait a few hours. That's triage. And that may sound cruel and unusual, but it is the right thing to do if you've got limited resources. If hundreds, if not thousands of people show up at these hospitals all at the same time,
and these hospitals have no choice.
Exactly.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I remember back when I ran in the first or the emergency as a first responder in the EMS, when we went to a multi-casualty event, we had to make some decisions. If Jane Doe over there was most assuredly going to die based on the severity of her injuries, and you had three other people over here. We had to walk away from, as hard as it was, from that person to tend to the others. And that's what we're faced on a larger scale here in America. And that's what doctors and nurses and first responders are faced with every day now, or will be. Is that what you're saying? I mean,
And what's going on now, closing the schools, universities, closing public events, that will slow down. It won't stop the spread. It'll slow down the spread. Given the opportunity for the people who get sick to go in incrementally into hospitals and clinics, wherever they go, instead of all at the same time. And that's probably a good thing. It's a lot more harmful to our economy. Granted, the statement you made about restaurants closing and going bankrupt, of course that's going to happen. The changes that are happening in our society will affect our society for many years into the future. This is becoming, already is, a historical event. I was hoping a month or two ago it would be a bump in the road. We're past a bump in the road. The Washington State legislature is now actively considering closing the borders of Washington State. Trucking companies are telling their drivers, the first of the lower 48 states that close their borders, all our drivers come home with or without their loads. They turn around and they come home. And where the food at your local supermarket there where you are, Doug, that arrives by truck. Almost all of it arrives by truck. And when the trucking industry shuts down, the food delivery shuts down. We're also looking at delays in pharmaceutical products from China. Now, we're getting reports from China that they're back up and running. We're also getting reports that they never slowed down except for Wuhan. Now, Doug, I ask you a question. 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we were seeing videos of people with this virus in China walking down a street, falling down and bleeding out. Why haven't we seen that in Italy? Why haven't we seen that here? We got the same virus allegedly, people allegedly getting just as sick as China. But why haven't we seen that happen, Doug?
Please, enlighten me. I'd like to know.
Well, my belief, first of all, everything that comes out of China on the internet is controlled.
Right.
It's foolish to believe otherwise.
Which is why, by the way, I had that video played, because it's all state-run TV and such. Go ahead.
Right. You can't... What we are being told is social media, private citizens posting videos of people walking down the street in Wuhan, falling face down and bleeding out from their nose and mouth from this virus. We're being told that it's private video, videotaped by private citizens being put on social media. That's what we're being told. China has the ability to shut down anything on social media, and they do routinely. If that was true, if this virus causes people to walk down the street sick, getting sicker, and all of a sudden fall on their face and bleed out from their nose and mouth, if that was true from this virus, it would happen here also. There's been more than enough time for Americans to get that sick walking down an American street, falling on their face, and bleeding out. It simply has not happened. And, of course, every American from kindergarten on up has a telephone in their pocket, it seems like. And there would certainly be video of this if it was reality. It hasn't happened, Doug. I don't believe it's going to happen.
Okay. Well, so if I hear you correctly, we've got multiple things taking place at the same time. You've got, well, we can't believe what's coming out of China, obviously. We can't, some cases, we can't believe our own eyes on videos we see coming out of other places. And certainly we can't believe our government. What in the hell do we believe, John, for everything that's holy, for crying out loud? You being an investigator, detective, myself, the same. What are we dealing with?
Doug, it always comes back to evidence.
Right.
It always comes back to evidence.
Right.
And I was on a Caribbean cruise when I was watching videos of people walking down the street in Wuhan and bleeding out as they were in the process of dying from a hemorrhagic flu that we're being told is here in this country. It was scary stuff. I was watching the doors of apartment buildings in Wuhan being welded shut. No comment about what they were doing with the windows.
True.
Of course, I have a rappelling rope and so forth, but most people could get out a window that's even 20 feet off the ground. If you hang by your hands, you're only 15 or 16 feet from the ground. You're not going to hurt yourself too bad. So, a lot of unknowns here. And the evidence we're seeing, it was scary 4 weeks ago, has not been repeated in other places. This virus is allegedly all over Italy, which is completely shut down. in most major cities in the United States. It's in places in Europe, all of which have video cameras, none of which are reporting people walking down the street, falling on their face, and bleeding out. That hasn't happened. It would be all over the internet,
right,
if that was the case. It's not the case.
Well, you're talking hemorrhagic virus in that case. This is something
right.
totally different. Okay, so, but I don't know what this is. You know, I was thinking this weekend, knowing you were coming on, I was thinking, what if John Moore was like the head of a precinct? Think Barney Miller type thing, where, you know, you were Barney Miller, for those people old enough to remember that, or whatever. Okay, I mean,
here's what I would do.
Yeah,
I would protect the vulnerable people that are always vulnerable. The people who die, and we've talked about this last week.
Right.
700 Americans died from the flu last week. 700 will die from the flu this week, and 700 will die from the flu next week. And those numbers will probably increase slightly with this Wuhan virus. Of course they will. The same people who died last week are the same type of people who will die this week. People over age 80, people with COPD, people with asthma, people on dialysis, people who are diabetic, people with a heart condition. That's who gets the flu and dies. You may be sitting across from somebody at work. They have COPD. They're good people. They put in a productive work day. They have the normal activities people have. But if they get this any flu virus, they're in deep trouble. So that's what's going to happen. If I was in charge of anything like that, I would give extra protection to the people who are vulnerable from any flu. And that would be the right thing and humanitarian thing to do. It's more difficult with this flu because of the reasons we're already discussed. The length of time this virus can live on a hard, cold surface. Incredibly long. Weeks. The length of time for incubation period. Possibly as long as 50 days, if you can believe that. That's off the charts crazy.
Yeah.
The normal flu, Doug, if you're as close to the normal flu, you'll get it in 24 to 48 hours. That's the normal flu, a very short incubation period, which makes it less dangerous because you're not walking around shutting off the virus, appearing to be perfectly normal with no elevated temperature, no sneezing, no coughing, no aches or pains. You appear to be completely normal to yourself and even healthcare professionals because you're with a long incubation period. So a healthcare worker, for example, working in a nursing home, they can get the virus, and it could be incubating in them while they're going to work every day, interacting with people 80, 85, 90 years old, very vulnerable, shutting off the virus in that workplace, in that nursing home. One of the first reports we got was two and a half weeks ago in Seattle was it seven or eight people in a nursing home dying from this virus.
Right, in Kirkland.
Well, it's really not news.
Yeah.
People in nursing homes get the flu, that goes into pneumonia, and they die. That happens 700 times a week all over this country. It's not news. But it will become even greater news because of the long incubation period. You know, your typical healthcare worker, healthcare workers get the flu also. Of course they do. So they come in contact, they touch something in public, say they touch something on a Friday, going home from work from the nursing home. Before work Monday, they know they got the flu. They're not going into work. That's the normal flu.
Right, that's the normal flu. Important distinction.
So,
go ahead.
So, since they know they're sick, they're not going to go to work and spread whatever they've got all over that nursing home where they're employed. If they touch something on a Friday afternoon and it's this Wuhan virus, it could be in them, part of who they are, shedding the virus is what it's called,
yep.
Giving off the virus, spreading the virus for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe even more in their place of employment, the nursing home, their church they go to, the school they go to, and they don't know they're sick. There's no symptoms. They have no fever, no cough, no achy pains, nothing. That's what makes this so dangerous. And that's why so many more people will die, is because people who normally won't be exposed to it under normal conditions will be exposed to it.
Is this, I mean, okay. I see a lot. Well, boy. All right. Let me mumble for a minute.
I don't like what's going on, Doug. I don't either.
I
got plans. I've had to change plans. I've got no choice.
Well, okay, when you say that, what are you basing the change of plans on? Is it the
people
virus?
Won't show up? Or people won't show up.
Okay,
I've got plans to do a training for 10 to 20 people. That it's very high end commando type training with very sophisticated firearms training, a map and compass reading, a first aid, CPR, manufacturing booby traps that are non-lethal, light and sound booby traps. It'll be a lot of fun for the people participating for a week, but I can't schedule it because people simply aren't going to travel. There's a possibility you leave your state, you won't be able to get back in your state. That's where we are.
So is that, so, John, is this because of the virus? And pardon the academic nature of this question, but is this because of the actual threat of the virus, or is this because of the response to the threat of the virus, or both?
It's the response to the threat. If I was king, I would have extreme measures for nursing homes and for daycare centers where there's little kids. It appears children under age one may be the most vulnerable, which most of those are not in daycare, but we're seeing more of that. But I would have extreme measures for our hospitals, where people are sick anyway, for nursing homes of all kinds, extreme measures to make sure that these people are protected. And make sure that people who are vulnerable, which is the list we just went through.
Right.
It's unfortunately, we have a very unhealthy society. I believe we're 40 or 41 from the top when it comes to longevity.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week, and I did look that up, and you're right. I think we're number 42.
And so 41 countries that spend less per person, most of them far less per person, they live longer. There's no country on this planet that spends as much per person per year on what's called health care that I don't call health care at all than the United States of America. And if that's the case, which it is the case, there's no doubt about
right.
that, how come our people don't live the longest? Something's really broken there. A number of these countries are what you might call third world countries.
Yes.
And their people live longer than us. They have limited health care facilities in terms of American health care. What we're doing doesn't work. If it did work, the United States would have the longest living people on the planet, clearly. If what we did for health care worked, no doubt we would have the longest living people on the planet,
right.
Not 42. And those, right. those are reliable figures from reliable organizations, including the CIA, by the way. So what we're doing is broken. We have a very unhealthy society. We have men and women with multiple health issues that when they get any flu, they get really, really sick or they die. And that's what we're looking at. The decisions being made will slow down the progress of the flu. It's within 8 weeks, unless you're living in some remote, very remote area, in a wooded remote area or in the desert, everybody in this country will have some exposure to this flu within the next 8 weeks, which is better than the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
Which is better than the next 2 weeks, because it would be complete pandemonium if everybody who could get sick does get sick in the next 2 or 3 weeks. If it's spread out over 2 or 3 months, that gives our healthcare professionals the ability to deal with it in a humane way instead of having to triage people in tents on a parking lot, which is what it would come down to. They'll set up tents, sick people will arrive, and they'll be triaged. And if it gets bad enough, especially in the major urban areas, that's without a doubt when I'm sure they already got the tents.
I'm sure.
To set up the triage. You're not going to get in the building unless you get through triage first. And that's an unfortunate circumstance, but that's what's going to happen, Doug. If it gets too bad, too fast.
Do you think if we are to, look, I don't know what to believe. I except that, okay. my investigative work product, based on my research, hours of research, I can come up with no other conclusion that this was, and bear with me on this, John, that this was a manufactured weapon. That this
it is.
Was, okay, all right.
Well, yeah, I'll get you to Dr. Lynn Horowitz will be with me on my show Thursday. Dr. Horowitz has very heavy-duty credentials in this area of expertise. And there was an article that he wrote on my website, a 10-page letter, I believe it is, giving his evidence that this is a biological weapon.
Okay.
A normal virus can't live on a hard, cold surface more than a few hours.
Right. Exactly. And folks, go
typically
to the Liberty Man.
24 hours or less. Right. In direct sunshine, a few minutes.
Right.
Typically 24 hours on a hard, cold surface, a normal virus is dead. It can't live for weeks. The typical normal virus has an incubation period of 24 to 48 hours. 48 hours is actually quite long for a normal virus.
Okay.
Usually, if you come in contact with a virus, you'll be sick before the next morning.
Correct.
That's what happens with a normal virus. This is not normal. This is a biological weapon. It doesn't mean it's going to kill you any better. It means you're going to get it a lot more easily and not even know it for days, probably weeks. That's what makes it so deadly, is because it will spread left to right, top to bottom in this country relatively fast. And I don't like the measures being done. They're very disruptive, but unfortunately, it's what needs to be done. And that's where we are, Doug. People need to pay heed. And if you have vulnerable members in your family, older folks, people who have compromised immune systems, I know a lot of people in their 40s and 50s with COPD. In fact, any smoker, Doug, is filling up their body with carbon monoxide every day.
Right.
You think that might just compromise your immune system a little bit? They appear to be healthy. They look normal. They go to work every day. But they're filling up their body with carbon monoxide every day. That can't possibly do anything except compromise your immune system and your respiratory system to a certain extent. Of course it does.
The circulatory system, believe me, I got the lectures.
Of course.
I know. And smoking cigars, legal cigars, mind you. You know, I don't know. Is there a statute limit? Anyway, no, I understand that. But going back to this. If this was, and you say, and I believe, and Dr. Horowitz would back this up, and it's on libertyman.com, this being a biological weapon, then my next question is, what in the hell happened? Was it accidentally released, or was it intentionally released? Where was it? Who released it? What's the objective here? Where do we put the crime scene tape? Do we wrap the entire globe with crime scene tape, John? Do we have the uniforms to do that, or what?
Okay. We can determine what the goals of the Communist Chinese are because we know what the goals are. In fact, there's a speech from a top Chinese general at my website given to his people, not meant for public distribution, showing the goals and objectives of the People's Republic. And we need to call the country the People's Republic of China, which is what it is.
Exactly.
We may never determine whether the release of the biological weapon in Wuhan was intentional or a mistake. Don't worry about that.
All right.
What we need to focus on is what their objectives are. They will take advantage of this in our country, whether it was intentional release or inadvertent. That doesn't matter. What color the freight train is painted coming at you doesn't matter. What matters is it's coming at you.
Ooh, good one.
Okay?
Good.
Now.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyway, the objective of the Chinese is multiple, but simply they want to conquer the world. They're actively colonizing all of Africa south of the Sahara. That's taking place right now. That's not a secret. Their plans include taking over the United States and not having any Americans to be in the way. That's part of their plan also. Will this help them further their plans? Will this virus weaken our country? Of course it will weaken our country. Would their communist buddies like George Soros take advantage of this? I can see easily in a week or two, this is going to continue to get worse by the day, in case you haven't figured it out, Doug. in a week or two, George Soros paid, trained, and equipped agitators in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, starting to cause riots at Walmarts and at supermarkets, riots leading to physical violence and death, and which will take on a life of its own. What begins with trained, organized, violent people will become a spontaneous event once it starts and take on a life of its own. That's what they're hoping for, and given the circumstances we're seeing, very likely to happen, Doug. Which makes us weaker and even more vulnerable to the Chinese doing what they want to do, which is eventually to conquer our country. I could see the governor of California, for example, if there is massive civil disorder in Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, asking the United Nations for help to bring civil disorder under control.
Okay.
I can see that.
Okay, yeah, Newsom would do that, or even Cuomo, I'm sure, or whoever. You're right. Go ahead.
Right. And the president would be hard-pressed to deny the United Nations entrance. I think he would. I hope he would not allow the United Nations to come here. It would also be an opportunity for the gangs in Southern California, and they're all over the country, but a huge concentration in Southern California. Now, Doug, I, just like you, I have sat across the interview table from hundreds of criminals, hundreds, many hundreds. And a few times, not that many, just a few times, I've asked some criminals the following question. Sir, if there was a major earthquake, flood, volcano, hurricane, what would you do? And they look me straight in the eye. John, we look at it as economic opportunity. That's the way the criminal mind works. And in fact, we saw New Orleans police officers stealing brand new Cadillacs during Hurricane Katrina, didn't we? And
true.
Yes. And many, I came real close to getting a contract to protect a hospital down there in the metro New Orleans area. I didn't get the contract. I had everything set up, the men, the equipment, the transportation, the warehouses. But, hospitals were being attacked by criminals to steal the drugs. And I can easily see if the drugs get cut off from China, you know, a lot of these drugs that are prescription pharmaceutical products end up on the street with a very high street value. And if those drugs get cut off, which is a high likelihood they will, the criminals will become more active attacking the places. Who has drugs? Nursing homes, clinics, hospitals, pharmacies. The criminals will be attacking those locations to get their drugs so they can continue in business and have product to sell.
Well, there's a business opportunity for you, John, and for me, in a sense.
Providing security? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a sad thing to talk about, but to the entrepreneur, proper entrepreneur, yeah. I mean, we don't want to go there because... But, okay. And by the way, the closing of the liquor stores where they're selling liquor here, like in the package stores in Pennsylvania or liquor stores, state stores or whatever you want to call them. That's interesting. I don't know what that means.
They closed the retail liquor stores, not bar.
Right. You walk, they're package stores. They're talking about closing them. I'm not sure at what level they're at, but they're just saying, you know, we're going to close. I know outside of Philadelphia they are. I'm just not sure where else in the state they're closing. I mean, what's up with that? I don't quite understand the rationale.
Your typical martial law includes, closing all places that sell alcohol, firearms, and ammunition. That's routinely done under martial law. So I would not be surprised. In fact, I would expect that. Now I've been asking my listeners, and you may want to do the same thing, any first-hand reports of what's going on in New Rochelle, New York. The National Guard has a perimeter set up, no one in, no one out, they're making food deliveries, I don't know what else they're doing up there. But I would like to know what those conditions are and get some details. Video would be great. There may be video on YouTube. I have not seen any yet myself.
All right, and I'll put the call out right now to anyone listening to this in the vicinity or within the confines of New Rochelle, New York. And I know we have listeners up there. I get mail from them. Please send your assessments by email, and even if you can get video, that would be even be better. Let us know what's going on. We'll pass this along. I'll pass this along to John Moore, the Liberty Man, as we're heading up to the top of the hour network break. And then, John, you've got the full hour to lay everything out and to change subjects, to continue on this one, whatever you want to do. That hour is yours. But yeah, New Rochelle residents, folks listening to this, please. And carbon copy John Moore. Now, as I say all of the time, you got the links are in the program description box, not on YouTube, not on Spreaker, but at HagmanReportLive.com. Use those links. Go to thelibertyman.com. And by the way, this Thursday, John is going to have Len Horowitz on as a guest. And if there's any, look, you should be listening, in my view, you should be listening to John Moore every single day. One of the best, if not the best, internet programs syndicated programs on the internet. The web presence of John Moore, as you see on your screen there, leads you to the day's program on ran live on RBN. So do that, please. TheLibertyMan.com. Bookmark that website. It's in the program description box at Hagman Report Live. We're up against the top of the hour break. My guest, the man I call the evidence man, the guy that no wonder he makes a big bucks. I'm kidding. But no wonder that he's got such a great, stellar reputation because, well, you heard what he said. And I have to echo everything that he said. John Moore, a good friend of mine, good friend of this program. And let me tell you, one of the most brilliant minds, in my view, in the investigative world that you can come up with. If I'm in trouble, who do I call? John Moore. And be right back. Stay right where you're at. Network break.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome to Hagman This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites to the truth include HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com and HagmanReport.com. Two very important websites. I spoke to the Patreon members last night. We are going to be using the heretofore unused Hagman Report forum for our members. And I think that this is going to be a great asset we're working on. In fact, I worked throughout the night intermittently to really restart and to this will be a source of information for those people who support us to get the real-time updates, hopefully, and to be notified first of all things that are taking place. My guest is John Moore, thelibertyman.com. You've got to bookmark that website. Listen to him every day. He's got a great array of guests. Of course, he's heard on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. Go to John, thelibertyman.com for the presence of John Moore, and there you will see the player for that day's show. And then the archives are also available. Before I get back to John, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're at home, you might be doing some online shopping. And yes, that's online shopping. And if you do online shopping, understand you can use as a force multiplier, those are my words, honey. It's an app. It's an add-on app that saves you money. You know that Honey is a free online shopping tool that automatically finds the best promo codes and applies them to your cart. And you know how great it feels to save. But how does it save, or how does it feel to save money with Honey? I've got to tell you, it's like driving to the studio and hitting every single green light. It has a great feeling. And my wife loves to save money. I mean, uses coupons to shop, when at brick and mortar stores. I mean, she cuts coupons, but this is like the electronic equivalent to a force multiplying way to save money. Eric the tech had to buy another purchase after our last snafu with our equipment. And let me just double. Yeah, it was $4,602 that was saved in terms of total purchases only through Honey. And that's my personal endorsement that was for studio equipment that we did not have to purchase through a specific retailer. This was done through places like, such as Best Buy and other places. Now, Honey has found it's over 18 million members, over 2 billion. That's billion dollars in savings. And did you know that Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, such as Macy's and Target and Sephora, Best Buy and more? And they're adding more every single day. Users love Honey. That's why it's got over 100,000 plus 5-star reviews on the Google Chrome store. Here's what you need to do to save, folks. Using Honey, it feels pretty good. Think of it as a little daily victory. And oh, it is. Plus, it's free to use and installs in just a few seconds. And folks, you know, if I can use it, you know, if I can use it, you can too. It's easy. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. Remember, there are two N's on Hagman. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. And the link will be in at HagmanReportLive.com in the description box, as well as on Hagman Report. There it is. Again, my guest is not a guest, but a member of this network. I believe an ally, somebody that I can count on. And I meant that when I said, you know, if I run into trouble, and by the way, I'm going to tell you, I'll tell everyone this. You know, I've experienced my share of issues over the last year. Not me necessarily, but because of things that have happened, very bad things that have happened. John Moore I can't sing his praises enough, because his analysis is second to none in my view as an investigator, as a professional, and even as a talk show host. And I say even, meaning that he shares this knowledge with all of you through his program. So I've, at the risk of sounding, building him up too much, John Moore, we are witnessing a new normal, aren't we? I mean, I don't think this country or the world is going to be the same. There's something, it's just not going to be the same, is it?
There will be a new normal. We went to a new normal after 9/11/01. People our age can remember when it was, when you wanted to fly on a commercial aircraft with a firearm, you carried your rifle, shotgun, pistol onto the plane with you. You handed it to the very nice, beautiful flight attendant, and she took it. There were no men at the time, of course.
Right.
And she took it to the pilot's cabin and placed it there. And when you got to your destination, she got it for you and handed it to you, and you walked off the airplane. That's the way it was. Believe it or not, that's the way it was.
I miss those
myself,
times.
Doug, just like, you know, I've been in dozens of city jails, county jails, state prisons, and federal prisons all over the Midwest. It's easier to and more polite to get in and out of those facilities than it is to fly on a commercial airplane. That's where we are. I mean, seriously.
Sadly, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
I use that as an example to show where we were before September 2001 and where we were shortly thereafter, where we have these security people checking out 80-year-old women in wheelchairs to find out if they're terrorists. How insane is that?
Nothing, and excuse me, but nothing pisses me off more to see that happen to somebody who could be my grandmother, my mother, my, you know, it
or
angers me.
A child with a T-shirt that has a photograph of a firearm forcing that child to turn the T-shirt inside out.
Right.
Before they fly on the airplane. Or attend kindergarten, as the case may be. We're in the process of becoming a new normal. I'm not sure what the new normal is going to be. This whole social distancing thing. Once the flu virus has passed us, we'll develop the new normal. There's lots of rumors about whether they're going to try to eliminate currency, for example. I don't see that myself. It's too easy to disinfect currency. I don't know why they would have to eliminate. The currency is only 10% of the money in circulation anyway. Most of it's digital. So I don't see that as happening myself. There'll be a recovery. People will be reluctant to go on cruise ships for probably 6 months to a year, maybe longer, after this thing is finished.
Yep.
Traveling at all, especially international travel, will be curtailed for 6 to 12 months, maybe longer after this thing is finished. Certain countries, Italy, for example, Italy will have a tough time bringing their tourist industry back, a really tough time. Nobody goes to Iran anyway, so that's not an issue. well, you know, they don't. Why would you go to Iran? So there'll be a new normal, and we can speculate on what it would be like. What's on the table right now is the current reality that's media-driven and fear-driven. You mentioned earlier in the show, people buying toilet paper. Well, I've been doing that for years. I buy the big rolls that are 2,000 feet per roll. They don't measure them in sheets. They measure it in feet. I've got 20 miles of toilet paper, Doug, literally. I mean, it's not a flippant statement. I literally have 20 miles of toilet paper at 2,000 feet per roll.
And you did not just get that this weekend.
I've been buying it for years.
Exactly.
Right. You just laying it back. My wife thought I was crazy, but, you know, she's passed on now. But you don't want to occupy the same space with a woman who does not have access to toilet paper. You really don't. I mean, I don't. It would not be a very smart thing to do. Men can get by a lot easier with grass and leaves, but women, you don't want to do that.
There was a meme, just to be a little bit humorous. There was a meme going around with a dog scooting his butt on the carpet saying, watch and learn. You know, I just thought that was humorous, but I'm in search of humor wherever I can find it these days. Okay. All right.
Well, I saw another meme of the four horsemen of the apocalypse and are on their horseback, and One of them has a number of rolls of toilet paper under his arm, and the another horseman says, "Toilet paper? Seriously?"
Yeah, I saw that.
So you saw that. Okay.
Yes, I love it. I mean,
well,
yeah.
We have to. Humor is a good thing, and one of the things I learned in combat is the guy who has no sense of humor, he's going to get himself killed and everybody around him.
Yep.
Combat is where humor is more necessary than ever. It really is. And what we're facing is not combat, not that it couldn't become combat in isolated and densely populated areas, but the emotions are similar to combat. And it's not good to make major decisions out of fear, especially major decisions that will be, have serious economic consequences. Fear-based decisions can be good, but they can cause you great trouble also, can't they, Doug?
Oh, they sure can. And you had mentioned something about combat, or you mentioned combat itself. You know, what really, I think frustrates me, if I can't see it, to shoot it, to stab it, to bludgeon it, to punch it out, you know, it's a little bit more frustrating because this is something a little bit more nebulous. It's not, it doesn't take on a human, enemy shape or form. It's an enemy, but not in the, upright flesh kind of variety. So yes, but yes, indeed, fear and, decision making, not a good thing, as well as, tactical planning. So.
Well, when Desert Storm was being, ramped up, I called my buddies that were active duty and I said, do you need my help? I was ready to put on a uniform and go back on active duty. And my buddies told me, John, it's going to be a chemical battlefield. You want nothing to do with this. It turned out that I was right. Almost every man and woman who was in the Desert Storm is either really sick or dead.
Yep.
And that's, you know, I'm glad I didn't go. And my heart goes out to the people who paid that price, but it was a chemical battlefield.
That's yeah. I'm glad, John, through the situation that you're still here. And you know, I think God has made provision. If those of you listening and viewing John and I talking, you're here because I believe God wants you here, and you've got a purpose. And you may not know what that purpose is yet, but just keep listening. Maybe serendipitously you might be able to get that purpose. But you're right, John. I mean, it's bad. But I'm just concerned at this point, John, that I look at the shell shock in the people's eyes when I went to a store, and the people, an upscale grocery store here in this area, or seemingly upscale. They were shell-shocked. They couldn't believe in a matter of hours that they were cleaned out. No meat, no eggs, no bread, which, you know, not for long-term storage, but the hell. Anyway, and no ice cream. Just saying.
Uh-huh. Well, you gotta have your priorities.
Yeah, of course. but to see that shell-shocked look in people's eyes, and finally it's like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. And even to some extent, the preppers, this is really happening. We're planning for days like this, but now they're here. Now what do we do? Oh, I just don't have a good feeling about any of this. I don't know.
Well, Doug, we'll be here every Monday giving updates. Yep. And as you and I both know, it's a dynamic situation.
Yep.
Yesterday was different than the day before. Tomorrow will be different than today. When you got the Surgeon General, today... This is Monday, the 16th day of March. The Surgeon General of the United States at the White House told us that we could become Italy. Now, at that level, statements are not made spontaneously, off the cuff. That was ran through a focus group. The attorneys at the White House reviewed what he was going to say first. The media people, the public relations people at the White House reviewed what he was going to say first. Nothing at that level is spontaneous and off the cuff. It simply doesn't happen. So the Surgeon General of the United States was basically told what was okay to say. And they told him it was okay to say that we, the United States, could become Italy in 2 or 3 weeks. Italy's on a complete shutdown. The borders of Italy are shut. Nobody in, nobody out. The country's on lockdown. And if that happens here, we can speculate what will happen does that include closing the deep water ports? Will the harbor masters turn away the ships that deliver the things we need, all the spare parts that we need to keep America functioning, for example? The pharmaceutical products, are they going to be turned away or allowed in? I don't know how bad this could be. I know that many things that we use on a daily basis, there's not warehouses full of this stuff waiting. We have what's called just-in-time delivery, and the manufacturers manufacture what they think will be consumed on a regular basis, and they don't manufacture excess amounts because they don't need to anymore with just-in-time delivery. Supermarkets, when you and I were boys, they all had a warehouse in the back. Every one of them did, in the back end of the store. They don't have that anymore, Doug. The food arrives, they deliver it immediately out to the shelves, and they stock the shelves immediately. They don't have warehouses full of food in the back end of supermarkets anymore. They have what's called just-in-time delivery. We have a very vulnerable society for those reasons. If the trucking industry shuts down, we're in deep trouble in 24 hours or less.
I agree.
That's how the food gets to the warehouses and in turn gets to the supermarkets. So the food is delivered from the farms to the people that process it. It goes from the processors to the warehouses. It goes from their warehouses to the everything's moved by truck from one warehouse to the other, eventually to the supermarket. So we've made ourselves completely dependent on the trucking industry. It is not optional. It is not optional. And the word I'm getting, Doug, from the trucking industry, the first state that shuts its borders, and that could happen this week the way things are going, all the truckers are told by their employers, turn around, come home. You got a load, you bring it with you. If you're empty, you come on home. It doesn't matter. Get back to your home base. They want to preserve their drivers and protect their equipment.
Wouldn't it make more sense, and I'm throwing this out there, wouldn't it make more sense to leave it at the state line and have somebody from within that quarantined or cordoned off area to pick it up? I mean,
those are called workarounds.
Okay.
And of course there'll be workarounds, but it'll take days for the authorities and the private industry to develop the workarounds so that doing things as you suggest can be done. And they probably will be done. It'll be burdensome. It'll be expensive. It'll take time. But they'll do those things to keep things working. Right now, as we speak, I'm in Crawford County, Missouri. The Crawford County Health Department is having a meeting with the stakeholders in our county right now, as we speak, while we're taping this show.
Right.
That's happening right now. There's 3,300 counties in the United States. I would say this week, if they haven't had a meeting of this nature with their health department, all 3,300 counties will be having a meeting with their health department. This is a bona fide crisis. It doesn't matter if it's real or fabricated. It's become real. It's become real. The threat is not as great to the general public as we've been led to believe, but the decisions being made are made on the basis that it is. Instead of protecting those most at risk, we're attempting to protect the entire society. That is incredibly disruptive, incredibly expensive, and will it change our society in very basic ways for decades in the future like 9/11/01 did? Possibly. It's on the table, Doug.
Yeah, I think this is going to leave a much greater or much bigger mark because 9/11 was geographically centered on, you know, you had New York, and then you had Shanksville, and that whatever that
Pentagon.
Was.
And the Pentagon.
In the Pentagon. So you had really three areas that it was a sucker punch to those people in those areas. But and the shockwaves did go out. But now this is a nationwide complete change way of life that I don't think we've seen in modern times. And I'm telling you, man, John, I think that it's almost like whatever's going to happen, they're going to use this. If this wasn't planned for a specific purpose of changing the social norm, they're certainly going to exploit it as such. And I don't see normal entering into the picture for quite some time, if ever, from here. And that concerns me a lot, especially on so many levels it concerns me. And I don't know, John, if I'm just in a introspective and somewhat negative mood or what, but man, I'm looking at this and thinking, this, we're never going to go back to the leave it to beaver days ever after this. Well,
people who didn't live when you and I lived back then, they don't know, because it's, for example, when I got my first driver's license, it would have been about 1964, along in there.
You're old, man.
Yeah, I'm an old guy. The clerk took a piece of blue cardstock and put it in a manual typewriter and typed my name, my birthday, and my home address on it and handed it to me.
And for an extra $20, you can get one. I got to tell you, I remember those days. For an extra $20, you could get they could type whatever they wanted. Anyway, I remember that.
It was illegal to sell motorcycles that had turn signals on. I bought a Honda when I was at Fort Bragg in the Army in 1969. And there was holes on the handlebars. And in the back, I said to the guy at the dealer, what are these holes for? He said, oh, John, that's where we had to remove the turn signals. It was illegal to sell motorcycles that had turn signals on them.
Okay.
And you know, there's been, these changes are incremental and gradual.
Yep.
So, you know, and people, young people growing up, they don't know what it was like before they were born. How could they? They can read newspapers, watch movies. That only gives you kind of a glossing over of what society was really like. My mother would not go shopping in a grocery store unless she wore a dress, a hat, and gloves.
Yep.
She would not. She would not be seen in public going to the supermarket unless she was wearing a hat, a dress, and gloves.
Thank you. And you know what, John? Doggone it. Look at you. Okay, so, folks,
She was the wife of a plumber. She was not some high class babe.
Right.
She was the wife of a plumber. My dad was a plumber.
But you know, I'll bet you when he went to church on Sunday, he had a sport coat and tie on, didn't he?
Of course.
Very good.
And when I was a teenager, I would do manual labor in a t-shirt, but I would not leave the premises of my home wearing a t-shirt in public because that's underwear.
Yes.
I would not. I would not consider going to high school wearing a t-shirt as an outer garment. That was not part of my world. And I went to a country high school where my classmates, the male classmates, made spending money by trapping fur-bearing animals. It was really country. You know, that's as country as it gets. When your classmates work at dairy farms that their parents own and trap fur-bearing animals to make spending money. And my classmates and myself, the men, would not go to school wearing a t-shirt as an outer garment. We simply did not do that.
And you know why? It's respect, isn't it? It's values and respect, but respect especially. It's respect for the institution of church.
Well, it's from the top down, Doug.
Yes.
It's from the top down.
Yes.
Even the football coach and the shop teacher had to wear a dress shirt and a tie.
Yep.
And the female instructors had to wear a dress or they'd be sent home. This is a country high school, country high school, not some high class prep school. This is a country high school. That's the way the whole country was back then, Doug. The entire United States was that way. And it's from the top down. When you reduce your standards for the teachers, guess what? Everybody else gets loose also.
There it is. And I remember being turned once or twice being turned away. You know what? Your blazer, not right, or there's something wrong, or your tie wasn't, you know, there was. So, hey, back in the 60s, even Oliver Wendell Douglas from Green Acres did his farming in a suit or in a shirt and tie. I'm kidding, but you get the idea, folks. Most of the non-baby boomers won't get that joke, but yeah, you know what, John, and see, the way you look today and the way I try to look today, I mean, it's a show of respect for the people, the viewers, the listeners, specifically the viewers and other people out there. It's just, and we've lost that.
We have. It's a degradation of society in general. Yes, I now see adult men and women in public wearing pajamas.
Yes.
And I look at them and I'm thinking, stop the world and let me off. I mean, it's wearing pajamas in public. I mean, it's
yeah, I don't even wear that stuff at home, you know, I mean, walking around the house, but yeah, you're right. Right. And people may say, well, this is, you're missing the point that this really, it doesn't matter how you dress. Oh, yes, it does, because it speaks to a lot of other areas as well. I think values and even morality to some extent. So you're right, John. I'll show.
Well, a friend of mine owned a bowling center, and he had a female employee, and this woman serves food, of course, and she wore pajama bottoms to work. And I thought maybe I should tell my friend who owned the place, and I thought, what's the point? He's the owner. He's only got three or four employees. Of course he knows this woman is showing up for work wearing pajama bottoms.
Unbelievable.
We're descending towards barbarity is what it is, in my opinion.
I believe that to be the case, John. And, you know, I look at you, and this is why I've got a lot of respect for you. On so many levels, and I'm not blowing smoke up your skirt or your, in this case, your suit. We need, in my view, to get back to what we've lost or get back what we've lost. And that's the respect it's self-respect too, isn't it? It's how we view ourselves. Now we see these Muppets and mopes with, for crying out loud, these nose rings and lip rings and nipple rings. Not that I care about that, but.
Well, let me give you.
Please help me.
You'll love this. Now this is for my generation and your generation. Doug, when we were youngsters, many homes and of course the public in the school library, we learned how to determine, how to identify Stone Age people who had no written language, because National Geographic showed us how to identify Stone Age people with no written language. They were covered with tattoos and pieces of metal sticking out of their face.
Now, you can do the same on Twitter by emojis.
No. You're missing the point.
No, I know. I get that. Go ahead.
You're missing the point. Stone Age people with no written language cover their bodies with tattoos and pieces of metal sticking out of their face. That's what we learned when we were youngsters by reading National Geographic. And I still identify Stone Age people that way. If they're covered with tattoos and pieces of metal sticking out of their face, I know I'm looking at somebody who is one step above a caveman.
Have we imported that culture here into America? Is that what it is, or is it kind of ingrained in America, or is it both, a mixture of both?
It's media. Once again, it's media driven.
Media driven. Okay. Yeah, and I.
Of course.
Sorry, I was trying to force a point. No, I didn't miss it. I was trying to force a point because I hate people who on Twitter or send me an email with, you know, all these emojis. It's like, use your words, people. Sorry, but the skin is not us canvas unless you are a Stone Age or a caveman or whatever you're referring to. I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent there. Then.
Well, educational I lay a lot at the feet of the education profession. In the 1930s, 1940s, many, probably half or more public schools taught Latin in this country. And taught calculus and fairly sophisticated mathematics. Very few public high schools teach Latin anymore. They simply don't. You look at photographs of the all-black schools from the 1940s, 1930s. You got these smiling, happy black children wearing coats and ties for the men. The black girl students wearing dresses. You look at the public high schools for the white children the same period of time. The Caucasian boys wearing coats and ties, the Caucasian girls wearing dresses, all looking pleasant and happy. What have we got now? We have armed guards in the public schools, especially in the inner city, with metal detectors in the inner city, which is working its way out to the suburbs now, unfortunately. We've become a very violent society at the level of youngsters, unfortunately. The schools no longer have standards. I went to a public school not too long ago during a lunchtime. I saw a bunch of young people. It looked like they were from the local homeless shelter by the way they dressed. I inquired and found out they were the instructors. Their attire of the high school teachers was basically the same kind of clothing you would get at a homeless shelter. I was shocked and dismayed and surprised to see that, but that's the way it was. And this was a very upper class St. Louis County suburb, by the way, where you have $500,000 homes where the students come from and more. So Doug, they took an educational system that was working fine in the 1930s and they broke it. They broke it by teaching sight reading instead of phonics. The basics of any education is two things, mathematics and language skills. And they're no longer being taught the same way they were in the 1930s, 1940s. They took a very good system and they broke it by design. You can look at this two different ways. You can believe that men and women with PhDs in education did not know what they were doing when they took a system that worked. Or you can believe that they knew exactly what they were doing and they broke it with intent. Nothing needed to be changed. They did not need the Dick and Jane readers. That was the beginning of removing phonics from our educational system. They did not need to do the things they did to reduce standards. When you reduce standards, everybody goes down. And we have broken our educational system. We now have men and women under age 40, especially those under age 30, that no longer have a signature. The banks have had to change everything, Doug.
Yes.
Because there's no longer a signature for documents. They can only print their name. They no longer have a signature. That's a sea change in our culture going back for centuries. We can go back to the founding fathers and men and women had signatures, the literate ones. And 100 years before that and 200 years before that, men and women had signatures that were literate. And if you did not have a signature, you're illiterate. That's pretty basic, isn't it?
It sure is.
Well, that's where we are. Every bank in this country has had to change their documentation, their forms, and their procedures because young people, in my opinion, are illiterate because they no longer have a signature.
You know, and people might say, well, what does that have to do with current events? Or what does that have to do with the reaction to the Wuhan Chinese coronavirus? Well, I would argue, and John, I don't know how you feel about this, but I would argue the reactions of the people today are ingrained. We're seeing the reactions from a ingrained learned behavior that goes back to day one, kindergarten, elementary school, and so on. I mean, we can make these connections. We've lost our ability to communicate effectively. We've lost our ability to, in my view anyway, to critical thinking skills. All of this combined.
Well, Doug, when you and I were children, any third grader in the United States could walk into the National Archives and read the Declaration of Independence.
That's right.
We now have doctors and lawyers they can't walk into the National Archives and read the Declaration of Independence.
Exactly. And they can't find the National Archives without a freaking GPS.
Well, that's kind of a side note.
True.
But if you're not taught to write cursive writing, you can't read it either.
That's very true.
That's very true. But that's public schools. The parents who send their children to private schools demand that their children learn cursive writing because they want their children to be literate.
Yes.
Not illiterate. And so we've gone from a society where every third grader in this country could walk into the National Archives and read the Declaration of Independence to a point where you can graduate from law school and not be able to do that.
Oh, my.
Now, that's, something's really broken when that's where we are, Doug.
Yeah.
Something's really broken when an attorney, you know, your typical young attorney would be, 27 years old, 26, 27 years old, can't walk into the National Archives and read the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution.
Yeah.
Either one.
Oh, man. You know, we're in the soup, brother. We really are. I think, and the older I get, the people are going to say, "Well, you know, shut up, boomer." And by the way, I hate that. I hate that phrase, and I look at that as a pejorative and a lack of respect. But you know what? I agree with everything you said. I really do, and I understand the context in which you presented that, and I think it's important for people to understand. So, yeah,
if you lose your connection with your past, you've lost a lot.
Yeah.
We went through this, 3 years ago with the historical monuments in the southern states, commemorate, the Confederacy. There's so much ignorance. For example, Emancipation Proclamation. Did not free any slaves in the United States of America. Now, I'm going to point out four states to you. Missouri, Kentucky, Maryland, and Delaware. Never left the United States of America. All had slavery until after Abraham Lincoln was died. After the Civil War was over, those states still had slavery because the Emancipation Proclamation did not free the slaves in the United States of America. You could easily have had slave owners being drafted into the Union Army fighting men who would never own slaves in their lives from the Confederate Army. Easily. That's not known. People don't know this. They don't know that the Emancipation Proclamation did not free the slaves in the United States of America. In fact, freed slaves nowhere because they were attempting to free slaves in another country, which they had no control over yet until they conquered that country, or more accurately, they surrendered.
Good point.
So the emotions over the Civil War are not based in reality. They're not based on history. They're based on emotion and ignorance. Slavery was not an issue in the Civil War until Lincoln could not hardly draft any people anymore. Then he used the media at the time to make it an issue. People in the North could care less about slavery on the whole. People in the South, it was not a factor for most of them. The issue of the Civil War was economics. Yes. And the United States of America taking the tax money from the South and giving almost none of it back, using it in the North. That's what the Civil War was about the use of federal taxation money from all the money being made in the South. That's what the Civil War was about. Abraham Lincoln could give a tinker's damn about slavery until it became a useful tool for him to keep the war going and recover the tax money being lost when the South took their money and said, "You guys take a hike. We're going to keep our money."
Long live Jefferson Davis. I'm sorry. No,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's amazing. Well, maybe not amazing. I think I overuse that term, but it's interesting to really look at the at history. And you know what? Are we, John, are we at this point where, having forgotten or rewritten history, are we kind of maybe bringing it on again? I mean, maybe.
What's the saying? Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. There's other phrases, and there's nothing new under the sun.
Sure.
And so forth.
Sure.
Yeah. Slavery was so horrible, they would have outlawed slavery in the United States of America before the Civil War began, which, of course, they did not do.
Right.
Slavery was legal in the United States all during the war. Men and women, boys and girls, bought and sold like loaves of bread all during the Civil War in the United States of America. And people don't know that. They need to know that.
They do.
They need to know. The war was not about slavery. It was an issue. Of course it was an issue. But it was. That's not why the war took place. It took place over money and taxation. I don't want to dwell on that too long.
No, and feel free, John. We've got about 19 minutes left of the program, 18 minutes. I want you to go wherever you want to go. Take control over the topic of today, of this, the remainder of the show, and let our listeners know what's on your heart.
People need to be vigilant. They need to help each other. Make sure that their neighborhood, their community, their township is safe. That people take care of each other. If there's vulnerable people, elderly people in your neighborhood, make sure that they're protected, and that means bring food to them. Make sure they don't have to go out. This virus will be nationwide in no more than 8 weeks. No more than 8 weeks. And the vulnerable people, we need to look out for them. People who have all the various illnesses that make them vulnerable, people over age 80 and so forth. Make sure that they have that their needs are met, that they're cared for and not vulnerable. And we can get through this. There's going to be distress. There's going to be economic loss. There's probably there's loss of life all the time anyway. This is part of any society. People die. Of course people die. People get the flu and they die. But we don't need to make it any worse. We can make it better. I'm doing that in my neighborhood. We have a local preparedness group. We meet once a month for training. We have movie night every Friday night beginning in a couple of weeks. We get together, we discuss our neighborhood, we discuss our lives, and we help out each other with whatever needs to be done. Maybe it's building a smokehouse. Maybe it's helping move some cattle around, helping harvest some things that need to be harvested. I'm in the country, and that's what we do out here. We all know each other. We take care of each other. It's different culture in these urban and suburban areas. I know that. But typically there's neighborhoods. There's neighborhood watch groups. There's churches and community groups. These groups need to come together to help each other get through this thing, and we will get through it. We'll get through it together, and there probably will be a new normal. I don't know what it's going to be. Whatever it is, we'll deal with it. Life goes on. Life goes on, and people need to be making plans for what will happen when this is over. I'm making plans for what this is over, when this is over. I'm sure you are, Doug.
Yep.
And be vigilant. Don't make major decisions that would be difficult or impossible to change later out of fear. It's just not smart.
No.
It's just not smart.
Yeah. Whenever you're pressured into, or you've got abnormal circumstances and pressure, not the right time to make life-changing or life-altering decisions. Hopefully enough people who are listening and viewing this broadcast have made preparations to the extent where the pressure is not necessarily as oppressive as maybe your neighbor who hasn't. Hopefully that's the case. But you're right, John. I mean, we are going to get through this. If we, with a few caveats, we've got to stick together. We've got to not acquiesce to an agenda that we is ideologically antithetical to ours and the Constitution and the love of the United States as a country. So yes,
if one of these anti-gun governors tries gun confiscation,
ooh,
he's going to have a lot of trouble on his hands.
Yes.
A lot of
yes.
It will get very, very serious, very violent, very quickly. And that may be one of their goals. I don't know. Vice President Biden has appointed Beto O'Rourke to be the gun confiscation czar. I haven't heard that term, but that's essentially what he would be, to confiscate non-existent firearms such as the AR-14, which does not exist. It's kind of a joke, but he did that to himself. Did you hear about that story?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, AR-14s, yeah, they do exist to the extent where on the lower, it's got a phrase.
That was one gun made as a response by a manufacturer.
I know.
Right. So it was a kind of a joke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I find a lot of humor in things. I don't know. I'm just a sick and twisted guy, I guess. But yeah, Biden, his comments, and Beto O'Rourke, Robert Francis O'Rourke, we'd be in a lot of trouble, John, if this.
Well, unfortunately, there's governors with the same attitude as these guys who have no position of authority at the moment. Thank goodness. But there's governors in California, Massachusetts, New York, and New Jersey, and Illinois, who basically have the same attitude. But they have authority because they're the governor.
Yeah.
And if they attempt to do gun confiscation in relation to this virus, it will get out of hand very, very quickly. And that maybe that's their goal, is they want to create civil disorder so that they can achieve another goal. That would just be a way to achieve another goal, is to have civil disorder. If you try gun confiscation in this country, that's exactly what you're going to get. The pushback will be immediate and it will be violent.
I don't, yeah, it's not going to end well. You want my guns under illegal circumstances, you'll get them lead first. And you're right, maybe that is, the chaos is the end game objective here. I don't know, brother. John Moore, by the way, folks, go to thelibertyman.com. Please do this. And check out the center panel there for COVID-19 updates. Obviously, the current official, in quotation marks, virus numbers, Bill Gates on using vaccines and reproductive health. By the way, since you brought that up, or I brought that up about your, isn't it interesting, the sterility allegations or assertions with respect to this specific virus, the male sterility. I don't know whether you heard that or about that or not.
I have not. Is that for all males or just Asian males?
No. This apparently was just, I don't want to say uncovered, but they're finding out that there's whether it was by design or not, but those people who catch this virus, and I'm not talking about the 60-year-olds or 65-year-olds, but younger, one of the consequences is infertility or sterility, testicular stuff, you know, where it affects that, your junk.
Right. Well, typically that means a lower sperm count is what it means.
Right. If you want to be technical.
We already have a seriously lower sperm count among American men in this country under age 40.
Right.
So that would make something as bad worse, it sounds like. I had not heard that before, but that's certainly interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. And to have Gates kind of be at the epicenter of all this, whether you talk about event 201 or the patents and such. Yeah, Gates is just all over this stuff.
Well, look for a vaccine to be announced soon. They're talking a year to year and a half. If they have a vaccine soon, personally, I'm not going to accept it, even if it's mandated. I don't know how they can do that. Under the guidelines of the Nuremberg tribunals, they can't force people to do any medical procedure at all. But I'm not going to sign up for a vaccine of any kind. I don't care who makes it or how good they say it is. How about you, Doug?
No. You come in, believe me. It's your hyperdermic or your syringe versus my 45. I mean, it's simple as that. We'll see which one carries the day. And you know what? I've got that right. No one's going to force me to be vaccinated. It's just ridiculous, and it's where in the Constitution, by the way, does that give them the right to inoculate us against?
Well, I mentioned the Nuremberg War Tribunals. One of the things that came out of the Nuremberg War Tribunals is it's a violation of international law to force somebody to take any medical pharmaceutical product or medical procedure. Any medical procedure or pharmaceutical product can only be offered under informed consent. And we're already stepped way past that with places of employment demanding you accept a vaccine, for example, despite your having an objection to it. We've already crossed that line. It's a clear violation of the Nuremberg War Tribunals to mandate and require a vaccine of any kind. A clear violation of international law.
And that's where it belongs, too, I think, in that venue, right? Do you agree with that, the war crimes?
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
All right. In the remaining moments, John, by the way, thank you for to me, this was a very inspiring broadcast, very informative broadcast. In the remaining moments we have here, what you got going this week? Len Horowitz on Thursday, right?
Right. Well, Len Horowitz, I'm backpedaling on some events I've got planned for training. I had a very nice 1 week training thing scheduled for May that we're going to have to postpone indefinitely because we simply don't know the future.
Yeah.
I'll be talking with my preparedness group to get movie night going again at the local American Legion Hall. I'll be talking to county officials about what our county will be doing and the health department and so forth. I'll get a briefing later today, hopefully, about the meeting. They should be wrapping up the briefing, and it's been 2 hours now, and find out what our county intends to do. And then I'll be doing, like I said, doing my show every day, of course.
Right.
Talking to my daughter. My daughter is not yet convinced to evacuate the grandchildren from Metro Seattle to my home here in Davisville. I'm hoping to convince her of that soon before they shut down the whole state, which is a definite possibility. And then they'll be stuck, along with all the other people up there. So I got a busy week. How about yourself, Doug?
Not quite as busy as you, but certainly doing some investigation and research into the various aspects of what we're seeing. Again, I'm more concerned about the agenda behind what we're seeing as opposed to necessarily the virus itself. But we have to take a look, and so many things taking place. But the show pretty much as usual this week, and additional blips as necessary. So that's what we'll all be doing.
And, well, Doug, let's talk privately. Here's some things that
I
have evidence, but not evidence I want to go public with. It wouldn't meet my journalism standards to go public with what I know. But you and I can talk privately about some of these things, Doug.
Yeah, okay. And let's do that here in the next day or two. I appreciate your time as we close out this program. John, I want to thank you so very much. John Moore, The Liberty Man, thelibertyman.com. Listen to him. Folks, there it is, right there on your screen. Join John Moore live on RBN. And there's the player right there every day. And if you're not listening to John every day, then you're missing out. My friend, God bless you. You stay safe.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk privately soon. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right, brother. And, folks, that was John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. Good guy, right? Yeah. So as I end this evening's program, I just want to say that, a lot of things happened today that, I'll address separately and tomorrow. You've got, a number of things that had gone on today. The Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, says he's going to close his country's border. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting how when they do it, the leftists do it? Sorry, Madge, by the way. Sorry, Madge. Isn't it interesting when the leftists do it? It's okay, but we threaten to close the borders. Oh, you can't do that. Mexico saying, oh, we're going to have to close the border to the United States. Oh, my goodness. But we can't do that, right? President Trump can't do that. It makes no sense. I'd be interested, and by the way, I want to say thank you again. Just to reiterate this, I want to thank the people who were part of our Patreon meeting last night. There was a special meeting that was called, and Celeste Solom showed up to answer some questions and to give some information. I thought it was fantastic. But I'm going to just give you folks a message. It's because of you folks, the supporters, the people who support this broadcast. You know, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, because without you folks, I tell you what, we wouldn't be on the air. End of story. And I want to try to repay your support back with my support of you in any way I can. So keep an eye at HagmanReport.com for information about things that are going to be taking place. And again, I was talking last night to our supporters, and I'd like to really open up and use a valuable informational tool our forum. More on that. I was working on that last night. You'll get notified. Our supporters will get notified. So thank you very much on that. Folks, I'm telling you right now, as Steve Quayle has said, you know, we're not going to know what normal is anymore. It will not exist anymore. If this is the new normal, we've got some work to do, I think. On Wednesday, I want to ask Dr. Proctor when he comes, how does all of this stack up to the United States Constitution? Seriously, think about that. Is what we're seeing constitutional or within the confines of the Constitution? Just asking. You know, the old saying about giving up freedoms for little security, or in this case, the illusion of security. We deserve neither. Is that where we're headed? Oh. One last thing. I want to thank you for visiting HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com, and buying coffee, whether we have three types of coffee, the whole bean, the grind, and the K-cups. We have three blends. We have the Detective's Choice, which is the hyper-caffeinated. We've got the Patriot Blend and also the Revolution Blend. You say you want a revolution? Well, there it is. Hey, a throwback, an old style King coffee mug. There you go. Back by popular demand, as well as a new design. Don't tread on me. There it is in the mug right there. HagmanReport.com. But in this case, HagmanStore.com is where you can find the merchandise. And a terrific tri-blend shirt designed by Eric the Tech. Look at that. A multicolored shirt. It's a great looking shirt, by the way. Check it out. It's got a flag on the sleeve. Go with HagmanReport.com there, and HagmanReport in the front. Good stuff. And the proceeds of our coffee sales go to legitimate organizations, Russ Dizdar and Craig Sawyer, to assist them in the boots on the ground activities in fighting human and child sex trafficking. And we appreciate them for doing that. So HagmanStore.com. Order yours today. And we did make sure, talking with the roaster, getting the beans in, to make sure your orders will not be delayed. We like to have, like, at most 3 to 4 days from the roaster to your door for the ultimate in freshness. This is a gourmet coffee, but more importantly, the proceeds go to help fight against human and child sex trafficking and trafficking. Folks, I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart for tuning in, for listening, and for being a part of the truth. And the truth can't be silenced. God bless each and every one of you. Good night.